when it comes to cleaning for Pesach, pretty much my shita in halacha is pretty much the same shita as Rabbi Sheinberg. There's all different opinions, more strict, less strict, but pretty much what Rav Sheinberg, as is said in his name, says is pretty much what we hold here. And that is, you have to clean places that there could be a kezayis of chametz, or even less than a kezayis of chametz that is edible, readily edible. But if it's a kezayis of chametz that is dirty, it's not readily less than a kezayis of chametz that's not readily edible, like in a place on the floor or in places that are dirty or whatever, or in such a manner that nobody's going to eat them, then you don't have to worry about it. Therefore, checking svarim. If you know that there can't be a kezayis of chametz, if you normally leave a sandwich in your books as a place mark, then this doesn't apply. Then you have to check all your books for the sandwiches. But if it's just crumbs that you may have spilled over into the sefer, and they're old, hard, and nobody goes eating crumbs that have been lodged in svarim, and it's probably impossible that there's a kezayis, even if you take all the crumbs together in your entire library from all the books that you've gone through the year, then you don't have to go through every sefer b'dikas chametz night or even before that. What you have to do, though, is if you're going to use those svarim, especially at the table on Pesach, then you have to check through the sefer from beginning to end. Shake it out or whatever, make sure there's no crumbs, that the crumbs don't end up in the food. But if you're not going to use those svarim at the table on Pesach, then you're going to have to check through them. And if they're haggadahs that you never use during the year, only on Pesach, so they can't have chametz in them, then you don't have to check them even if you're going to bring them to the table, obviously. Okay, other places, therefore. Places where there could be a kezayis of chametz, especially if you have little children, it could be any place, bathrooms included. Right, any place that's in the reach of children, they could have brought a kezayis of chametz there, and it could be that it's edible, and you have to check that. Clothing closets, food cabinets, all these things have to be checked. But if it's places like the floors or whatever, you don't have to get on on your knees and check every crack and crevice in the floor where there can't be a kezayis of chametz, and even if there is less than a kezayis, it's dirty, not really edible, all you have to do is wash your floors like you normally would wash them, and that's fine. You don't have to do anything more to the floors in the house. Selling chametz. If you're going to have rooms in your house or you're going away for Pesach, you could really lock up the house or lock up those rooms that you don't plan to be in and sell all the chametz in there. Unless you have a minig otherwise, you can sell real chametz. If you have a minig otherwise, then do what your minig is. But if you don't have a specific minig otherwise, you can sell even real chametz. And if you have areas in your house that you definitely are not going to go into on Pesach, you want to just close them off, you can sell them with your chametz and just close them off and not make any bedikas chametz there and not clean them or whatever. However, if you know you're going to need those rooms or people are going to be staying there, then you can't do that. If you're going away for Pesach and you just want to close up your house and you're not going to be coming back during Chol HaMoed, you're going chutz laretz or whatever, then all you have to do is sell your chametz, close up the house, maybe when you get to where you're going, bring some chametz into the room that you're staying or the place that you're staying and make bedikas chametz on that room Erev Pesach. If you are not going to have that, you're going to have a place where you're staying that's separate or you can bring chametz into, then you should make bedikas chametz on at least one room before you leave to mekayim the mitzvah without a bracha. And that's that. The rest of the house you can just close up. If you're going away just for Yontif and you're going to be back on Chol HaMoed, you can't do this. then you have to clean your house and make bedikas chametz regular. Okay, any questions on cleaning for Pesach? You have to make sure you clean the toys and whatever, all places that children especially play have to be cleaned well. Yeah.
So this is one place that takes a huge amount of time, which is the refrigerator.
And now that's not cleaning for chametz, that's cleaning it to use it for thing. We'll get to that.
Well, no, I mean like the top edges of
we'll get to that. That's not cleaning your house for Pesach. That's koshering things to use them for Pesach. It's a different thing. Okay. Any other question on cleaning the house and places that have to be cleaned or whatever? Okay. Next, koshering your kitchen. Okay, so let's start with the refrigerator. The refrigerator has to be cleaned, preferably obviously with some kind of cleaner. So if there is some residue or whatever, it becomes nullified and not edible anymore. And you don't have to line the shelves. Just have to clean them well. And the drawers, the same thing, don't have to necessarily be lined. If you have the minig to line them, that's fine. If you line the shelves, also okay, but you should put holes in the lining that the air could circulate. Otherwise, it's not good for the refrigerator, not mechanically, and not good for the food either, if there's no circulation of the air. The areas in the refrigerator that you can't get to, like the seals and whatever, or cracks and crevices. So you should clean what you can, and what you can't, you should pour bleach or some kind of good cleaner into it so it dissolves or makes at least unedible whatever's there, and that's good enough. What you can get to easily with a toothpick or whatever, you should clean out with a cleaner or whatever. And what you can't get to easily, which basically you'd have to take apart the refrigerator or whatever, or use special utensils to get into these cracks and crevices, is not necessary. Again, pour some bleach, some cleaner into these areas, and after that you don't have to go crazy using a toothpick or a Q-tip in getting every crumb out of the lining or the, what is it called, the gaskets of the refrigerator. Okay, any questions on refrigerators now? Does that answer your question? Okay. Next. Yes.
At the end, the beginning of my freezer, there's sort of slots with holes in it.
Freezer, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so right near the door, there's slots with holes in it. And I'm wondering if I pour bleach down there where it's going, if it would cause damage.
That's on the door?
Not on the on the main body of it, but it's just got
a lot of holes. So maybe part of the motor.
Usually it's a cover which you can unscrew.
Yeah? Okay, I don't know. I have to see what the freezer looks like. Again, if it's accessible, if there's something you can easily unscrew, like it's just a thing that's, you know, that protects it, and you take it off, and that's how they clean. It's made to take off to clean. Mm-hmm. Then you should do that. Mm-hmm. If it means taking apart your freezer,
yeah,
right, then I would be more afraid of taking it apart because you probably won't be able to put it together again, mm-hmm, right? And if you really can't get into there, you can't reach into there at all, it's not accessible at all, then you don't have to do anything there. Mm-hmm. And it's not...
Where the slats are, I clean it with a Q-tip and bleach, but actually...
Right, deeper in, but if in order to get to those things that may have dropped into those holes, you'd have to take the freezer apart,
right,
in a way, then you don't have to worry about it at all. Okay, sinks. If you have a stainless steel sink, you can kosher it for Pesach. You have to boil water, and preferably put hot metal or stones in the sink to keep the water boiling as you pour it. If you can't do that, it's not 100% necessary. It's another etza. It does discolor the sink a little bit and may also cause it to warp a little bit, but never bothered me. I don't know if it bothered my wife, but she never said anything. What you can do is take a blowtorch and heat up the metal of the sink before you pour the boiling water on it. And then when you pour the boiling water, the hot metal will keep the water boiling.
If you blowtorch the sink, you have to put the boiling water also?
Yeah, let's put it this way. If you blowtorch the sink really good, so it's every part is really, really hot, you don't have to kosher it with boiling water altogether. However, that's not really what's being done here. You're just putting a blowtorch lightly so it gets hot. Right? If you really use the blowtorch on it, you may not have a sink.
Well, can you use a big Shabbos urn to keep it plugged in and folded in?
Yeah, but it's still better to put something so the water keeps boiling, because once it goes out of the urn, it cools off a little bit. You can't do that, it's even without the stones, okay. It's a hither. It's still koshered if you did it only with the urn. But you can do it like that. You can use the urn. It's boiling the whole time. That's even probably better than boiling water in a pot. Don't use it for 24 hours, and you can use even a chametz urn. The chametz urn is not really chametz. It just could be that it was somewhere where things splatter. We don't use it for Pesach, but it's really not, probably not chametz. That's a different story.
Is there, when you say urn, do you mean kettle or urn? Because I usually keep my electric kettle plugged in, so it's boiling as I pour the water.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
That's an urn for the kettle.
Right. Well, whatever. Whatever it is, you're taking that water directly and taking it from the urn or kettle onto the sink. The problem is like this, that really, if you haven't used it within 24 hours and you're kashering before Chatzos and Erev Pesach, it's not really a problem. But the minig is to kasher the kli that you're using for kashering. It's not really... if you don't have anything else, and this is the easiest way to do it, you can do it like that. Even if it's a chametz like a thing that hasn't been used for 24 hours.
Wouldn't you have to use water to kasher, because that's usually the way you use the liyam water?
No, something that you can kasher with hagola, yeah. You can surely kasher with, not surely, but the way we hold, there's a Shulchan Aruch Harav who holds you can kasher it with libun kal. He even holds that anything you kasher with hagola, you can kasher with heating it up to Yad Soledes Bo, which is less than libun kal. Okay, but that's why I said the sink, you're not really koshering it, right? Because there's sheetas that hold that you can't do that. It has to be mamish libun, or at least libun kal. And you're not heating the sink up to that degree, because then you'd really warp it or whatever. You're heating it enough that when the water hits it, it'll remain boiling. That's all.
What about the sides of the sink? Because
the sides? No, you just splash the water all around.
The
yeah.
Is there any kind of rocks on there?
Right, because the truth is that the sides of the sink don't get more than that irui anyway. Right? Nothing. The whole sink anyway is probably only irui. So what's it called? And it's not irui from mamish where it's still boiling in the sink. Water still boiling in the sink. So that's the way to kasher it. It's a hither to put the stones in, but it's not necessary because that's what you get. You don't
get. Why can't you use the stones on the side of the sink? Use tongs to hold it. You put the water in between. Isn't that how you use it?
Could do that if you want, but it's a big tircha to do something like that. Usually you put some metal or thing in the sink itself, and it just boils the water and keeps it boiling when it hits the sides also. Not necessary to pour the water directly on the side. It's enough with splashes from the bottom to the sides, good enough. Okay. And you should pour the boiling water over the faucet too, the spigot where the water comes from. If you have a removable filter, yeah, then you should preferably change it for Pesach, because it's hard to clean out what gets stuck in there. Okay, the countertop, if you have a not a stainless steel sink, but you have a shayish sink, you can't kosher it. So then you clean it well with cleaner, and you get a insert that's raised a little bit above the bottom of the sink with its own drain, and you wash all your dishes in that plastic insert that's special for Pesach.
Pouring stuff down the drain?
Pouring stuff down the drain, yeah, also you should try to pour some bleach or some drain cleaner down the drain so you don't have problems of chametz coming up from the drain during Pesach. On the bottom, you don't have to. That's kosher, just like what's it called, like the sink. If it's stainless steel, if it's not stainless steel, then you can't kosher the sink anyway.
Well, it usually has a little black plastic thing on the top.
Yeah, but you're not coming in contact with that anyway. That you're basically changing your sink into the insert. If you can kosher it, you can kosher that little piece of plastic too. Even though plastic, we don't kosher for Pesach, but that much you can kosher. Okay, next, the what's called countertops. Countertops, you can do one of two things. And if you have the minig, you can do both of the things. For those who have the minig, to kosher the top and cover them. Do both. If you don't have a specific minig, it's enough to wash them, not to kosher them, and to cover them with something significant. Not with one layer of aluminum foil, which will by a half an hour be torn, soggy or whatever, and have no use. Either to cover it with some kind of linoleum, something thick that'll stay there the whole Pesach, that really makes a separation between the countertop and what you're putting on top of it. Right, so it should be something that's substantial. Not paper, not thin aluminum foil. They have that thick aluminum foil. It's not even foil, it's like metal. That you should use. But not something that's going to tear or get soggy right away. And then if you do that, you cover it, you don't have to kosher it, you just have to clean it. Okay. If you have the, and really, if you kosher it, you don't have to cover it. The koshering, right, makes it okay to put things directly on it. But many people have the minig to do both. But if you're going to kosher it and cover it, then better just cover it. You don't have to kosher it altogether. Yeah.
The ones that the regular
countertops that we have, you can kosher it. It depends what they're made out of. Yeah. If they're a real marble, then you can kosher them. If they're the shyish kind of cheap kinds of things that are made of not real marble or synthetic kinds of things, then they probably can't be koshered. Then they should just be cleaned and covered.
And if they're koshered, like the edges, you have to clean out with a toothpick as well around?
If there's cracks, yeah. If there's
usually at the edge, there's a crack where the edge molding is.
If it can be cleaned well, yeah, but usually the things don't come in contact with that piece.
Well, that's where the food falls, like between the crack of the edge and the.
It's made to prevent spills off the counter.
I hear. First clean it and put bleach in there, and then the koshering will help for that too. It's better just to cover them. Clean them well and cover it, and that saves time, and it's probably better than relying on the koshering. Okay. Next, ovens. The stovetop. Most people here have gas stovetops. If you have electric, just turn it on until it gets red, and that koshers the element. The places between, the thing underneath should be lined either with aluminum foil, get new ones, the thing that catches the drippings or whatever, again, should be either lined with two layers of aluminum foil, or they have the disposable ones you can buy, or get ones for Pesach and use them every Pesach. And the area, the surface area between the burners has to be covered with two layers of aluminum foil. You don't have to kosher anything. Don't pour any water over there. Just cover it with two layers of aluminum foil, and then you can put things down in between. The oven itself, lichatchila, you should not kosher an oven. Unless you're going to kosher with a blowtorch, and I don't suggest you do that. Because our not commercial ovens, usually you're going to kill something in the oven if you try to use a blowtorch. What you should do, if you have a self-cleaning oven, then you can self-clean it. Put it on the self-clean thing with the racks inside, with anybody else's racks that you want to kosher, and put it through one cycle, and if you see that it's not 100%, put it through a second cycle. That's enough. That's self-cleaning. That's not continuous cleaning. I don't think anybody here says it's continuous cleaning ovens. Either you have a self-cleaning oven or you don't. So the self-cleaning oven, that's fine. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, you have a regular oven, then what you should do is now buy an insert that fits into the oven. It has its own shelves, and you bake in that. My wife will tell you that it doesn't work that well, doesn't distribute the heat, doesn't make good cakes, doesn't make good... But it's kosher. That's my job. You want to listen to her? Or get an oven for Pesach. That's another possibility. If it's too expensive for you to get another oven, you can't get an insert for whatever reason, then you can rely on the following. This is not the best thing to do, but it's acceptable. But it's better not to rely on this. And that is to clean the oven out very well with some kind of oven cleaner. Leave it for 24 hours unused. No, you have to do that? Maybe not. And then, what's it called? But it's better to do it like that. And then leave it on to the highest heat, okay? But cover the racks with aluminum foil. The racks you should cover, or get new racks, or put them in somebody's self-cleaning oven. But the racks, you shouldn't rely on this. The racks, the oven itself, you can rely on this. The racks, not. The racks, you should either blowtorch, which when they kosher, firing, they blowtorch racks, or put them in somebody's self-cleaning oven, or clean them well and cover them with two layers of heavy-duty aluminum foil, and put things only on top of the aluminum foil. For longer than that you normally would put it on for the longest time. In other words, if the biggest roast or something takes 4 or 5 hours, then put it on for 5 hours. Wow. And put it on the highest heat that's going between the roasting broiler and the regular heat. So it gets heat from all the sides. Okay, that's an oven.
The parts on top.
Which parts?
The thing where the gas comes out of and the racks. They put the pots on the...
You mean on the stove top?
Yeah.
Okay, the stove top again. The drip thing, you should get a new one or cover the old one after it's cleaned. The place where the gas comes out, you don't have to do anything for. That's fine. You don't have to cover it. Just clean it. That there's no visible chametz there. And the tripods, where the things go, either you have to get new ones, or kosher them by putting them in somebody's self-cleaning oven, or blowtorching them, or putting them over the flame until they're red hot. And then you have to leave them, each part, over the flame for a while. That's the tripod where the pot sits on itself.
The grate.
What is it called?
Pan support.
Pan support. Nice name. Okay.
Great.
I thought that was a belt.
Okay. Maybe that's what they call it.
Pan support.
Okay. That's in the same place they call it nappies. Okay. If you want to kosher silverware pots for Pesach, it's not advisable. It's better to get and keep for Pesach separate things. If you have to kosher them, call and... we kosher here. When are we koshering? Whatever. As it gets closer to Pesach, will be announced. And... Rav Aaron is there, and he knows the halachas, and he'll tell you if you can kasher. But most of the time, you have to leave things not used 24 hours before you kasher them. So whenever the koshering is, make sure that those things weren't used for 24 hours. Most of them.
What, glassware?
Glassware that's not used for hot things, hot chametz, can be koshered with milui and irui, which means that you put them in a tub of regular room temperature water, totally immersed in the water, filled with water and immersed in water completely. And you do this for what's it called, 72 hours before Pesach, before Erev Pesach. It should be finished before Erev Pesach. And every 24 hours you change the water and do another again. So you have three 24-hour periods of soaking. And for glassware that's not used with hot chametz, that's okay. Yes, you have to change the water every 24 hours. Okay, towels, dish towels, whatever, all they have to be washed with detergent, and you can use them for Pesach. If they're plastic, not material, but plastic or plastic tablecloths, those can't be koshered. You have to get new ones for Pesach. But regular tablecloths can be koshered by washing them.
What about terralene?
Terralene is, what's it called? It's like plastic, no? What? No, this is plastic. Terralene looks like cloth, but I think it's
a nylon or something.
It's some kind of nylon. Yeah, it's a better. No, if you're not going to put it, if you're going to cover it, you can clean it and cover it. If he's always covered, yeah. And anyway, tables should be cleaned. Wood tables, your dining room table, doesn't have to be koshered. Should be cleaned well. What? All it has to be is cleaned well with a regular furniture polish and covered with a heavy plastic the entire yontif. And then you put the tablecloth over that and covering over the tablecloth. If it's a regular cloth tablecloth, you don't have to cover it, b'chlal. Just the tablecloth is good enough. If it's what's it called, terralene, maybe better to put a plastic cover over it. Yeah.
I make cream cheese and I use muslin to do it with.
Use muslin?
Muslin.
Not stockings?
No, I use
cheesecloth.
Okay.
It's an old Israeli nappy actually, but.
don't give me any of your cream cheese, please. As long as you don't use pan supports, it's okay.
Can I use that
much? Nepi, you're not the one to talk. South Africa is as bad as England. One second. Where do you get the cloth from? What were they used for before you used them for cream cheese?
So I used to put them on the head of the prams when my kids were sleeping.
They were never used for any kind of food stuff, around food?
No, only around the shamanet, which goes
inside. I understand. And one second, so you make that same thing during the year?
Yes.
Now you want to make Pesach with the same things used during the year?
The same things that I used in the year.
When during the year you wash them with chametz stick of things, yeah? Yeah, and they're just cloth. So wash them, use detergent. Doesn't the cream cheese taste a little like
nappies?
Now you mean you can wash them with detergent?
Yeah.
And then use them for the cream cheese? Fine, then you can do that. And they can use it for Pesach. Just wash them before Pesach. Before you make the cream cheese for Pesach, wash them. Regular washing. That's all. Okay. What else? What other things are there? Sinks, refrigerators, freezers, we went through. Ovens. Anything else? A microwave.
Get a new one.
Took the words right out of my mouth. It's not. I have try to kosher micro. If it's plastic inside, which most microwaves are, especially the cheap ones, forget about it. If it's stainless steel inside, it just has some plastic by the fan or whatever, you could conceivably kosher it. The way to kosher it is to boil water on the stove, pour it into something microwave safe while it's still hot and boiling, put it into the microwave and leave the microwave on till the water boils and fills the microwave with steam. And if that's after you cleaned it, didn't use it for 24 hours, cleaned it with detergent, whatever you can clean it, especially where the fan is, that's cleaned perfectly, and then you can kosher it like that, get a new glass where the things sit on, or use a paper plate or a plastic plate or something instead of that glass, and that really is okay, but it's very difficult to clean the place where the fan is or whatever. There's another Eitza, which I once did, and I don't suggest that anybody do that. I covered the whole microwave with that stuff they use for Israeli projects. I don't know what it's called.
Polygol.
Had to cut it to size. I don't suggest that you do that. It was a waste of time. Besides, that didn't last too long either. After all the bother of koshering them, I think you can buy a microwave for about 200 shekel, a cheap one, and have it every Pesach without having to do anything. If you can do that, that's for sure better. If you can't and you need the microwave and it's stainless steel inside, then you could kosher it. Just again, don't use it for 24 hours. Clean it well, especially the place where the fan is. Boil up the water, like I told you, inside, and it's kosher. And it's not only that, it's parif too. So if you want to change it from milchiks to fleishiks for Pesach, you can also. Microwave. What else is there in the kitchen?
That's about hot plate.
Hot plate? Oh, yeah, a plata. Plata.
Don't use a blowtorch.
Okay, plata. A plata should be left on for a while till it gets the hottest it gets. Clean it well. Probably clean it well before you leave it on like that. And then cover it with aluminum foil. Could be that you don't even have to cover it, but it's a better idea to cover it. There's no reason why you can't cover it, and usually use the plata covered anyway with aluminum foil because of this way it's like a blech. So that's what you should do.
It's only if
it has a knot. What?
It's only if it has a knot.
Those
don't come with any type of adjustment.
I hear, but it could be that it's merzik habishul. People cook on platas. Some people do cook on plata. You don't just keep things warm. And then chazor is a problem, even if it doesn't have an adjustment thing. So it's a good idea to always put aluminum foil on the plata, and especially if you want to put things back on the plata. Okay. If you want to leave things on the plata during the year, and not necessarily put them back, then you don't have to cover it. But we hold that a plata without a blech is like an uncovered flame. So, what's it called? Things you put on the plata usually are completely cooked. You can leave them there and take them off. But to put them back on, it's better to have a blech or aluminum foil on the plata. Yeah.
I always cover my plata with aluminum foil, but then when I put it back on Shabbos, I always have it on top of a pan as well, because the aluminum foil is really...
Okay, it's not... If you have the aluminum foil, that's good enough.
I don't need to do that.
An upside-down pan you have.
Yeah, upside-down pan.
That's...
I was going to ask, when does that tetzer apply?
The upside-down pan for a plata is good. For a regular oven, right, to put something...
I'm talking about regular Shabbos. Like if I want to heat up my fish schnitzels, I would, even though my blech's covered with two layers of tin foil, I would always put it in an overturned pan. But you're saying I could put the schnitzels right on...
Right, the reason like this. The reason that we normally, if you want to put something back on the fire, right, that was put down, right? If you didn't put it down, you had intention to put it back in and put it down, then what's it called? Even if the fire's covered, you can put it mamish back on the place where the fire is. But if you're taking something out of the refrigerator that's cold and dry and you want to reheat it, then the problem is that it's mechzik habishul. It looks, if you put it back on the place where you normally cook, it looks like you're cooking, even though you're not, but it looks like you are. Then what normally you have to do is put it on a pot with food in it on top of the pot, with food in it. Then it doesn't look like you're cooking because people don't normally cook on top of other pots. Okay. There is a heter also to not use a pot with food in it, but to put an upside down cookie sheet or something. That's not lechatchila, to use that on a regular, what's it called, regular oven. Because that's not really what's ideal. Better to put it on a pot with food. But by a plata, since anyway, there's opinions that hold that a plata, you can put things back. It never looks like you're cooking because people don't cook on platas. There's an opinion like that from Rav Adi Yosef. Lamaisa, I don't know if it's 100% true because people do cook things on platas when they have to. What? What? No, but blech, you can put a, what's it called? Some people have blechs for Pesach because of chametz and they cook on it. You can cook on a blech.
You mean on a blech?
What?
When you say on a regular oven, you mean
right, I mean a blech, right, on a blech. A blech over the fire.
Right.
So then you need this pot. But a plata anyway. Since anyway people hold you could put things directly on the plata because it doesn't look like cooking, so people don't cook normally on a plata. They just warm things. Even though we don't hold like that, but to be machmer so much that you have to put it on top of a pot with food, that much not. On a plata you can put an upside down thing. So if you want to reheat things on a plata that were not there from before Shabbos that you're taking off and putting back. You want to take it out of the refrigerator and heat it for Shalosh Shudas. And things that you're allowed to reheat, dry things that are fully cooked, then you can put it in an upside down pan and you shouldn't put it directly on the plata.
That means if you have a blech, we shouldn't do that?
If you have a blech,
we usually use a blech. We don't
have a blech. So you use... You can't put it directly over the fire on the blech. Or in a place where the blech is Yad Soledis, but where the blech is itself. You can put it near the fire. Near the fire means in a place where the blech is warm, but not hot enough to cook anything there. That's called near the fire. That you can do. But you can't put it on the fire. You can't put it over the fire, with even on the blech. Okay.
I'm confused. Yeah. If putting the foil down would help for chazara, makes it into a blech.
That so makes it a blech for chazara, but not for putting something to begin with there that wasn't there before. Chazara is where something was there before Shabbos, you took it off with the intention of putting it back, you didn't put it down, as all the tanoim of chazara. Then the blech itself is good enough.
I just said that for chazara, it still has to be cut them so it's not mixed in kavashal.
The foil.
What? No, the that foil. Has to, right, has to have that. That the blech, that the blech helps for.
Without foil?
What? With foil.
With foil. So then how does
well, one second. The blech is like foil. The blech, you don't, if you have blech, you don't need foil. What? The
no,
blech is.
A foil on a plata.
On a plata, the foil takes the place of the blech.
Right, so how can you put an upside down pan on the plata? Because mice is a blech. Put foil then, on the plata. So the same thing as a blech then.
Right.
So how can you put down an upside down pan?
What do you mean, how could you put it on?
Why do you have to?
No, so how could you? You would have to put on a pot with food in it.
No. Because some people hold that the blech itself is never nechzik habishul. You can put things directly on the blech without chazor or whatever. It's not on a plata, right, because it's never nechzik habishul. Because you cook things. So the problem of nechzik habishul doesn't apply by a plata. We don't hold like that. But since, anyway, there's a sheet that holds like that, right? So to be machmer so much that you can't use the upside down pan, that would not.
But if you put foil on the plata, so now it's a blech. So either that makes it, it's still mixing kavashel.
It's still mechzik and mavashel. With a aluminum foil.
So how can you do chazara?
Right, so how can you put an upside down pan on it then? Because if it's mixing mavashal, we need to have.
No, so we're saying that since lemaisa, it's only a chumra that it's mixing mavashal, because there is a sheet that holds that it's never mixing mavashal. So you can be somech on the upside down pan.
So the foil changes the status of the plata for one hala, one mixing.
No, no, the foil has the fuzz under with it. You don't need the foil. The foil is only legabe chazora. We're not talking about chazora now. We're talking about chazora you can do on a blech.
Without
right over the fire.
Without foil.
Right?
That's only without for foil. Karfakatum.
In order to do chazora on a plata, you need at least foil.
On top
what?
Of your
because it needs to be gorof the katum.
So
you can't do chazora.
So that helps for gorof the katum, which we
right.
said that makes it.
But that's still nevzik and mavashal. Still nevzik and mavashal. If you have a blech on your oven, right?
It's a blech.
Right? A blech on the oven. Okay? Okay. So if you have things that you have all the time of chazora, you can put it back on the blech. But if it's not things or a time of the chazara, you want to just take something out of the refrigerator Shabbos morning that wasn't on the fire before, you can't put it on the blech. Then you need a pot with food in it. Okay? The blech won't help. The blech is still a problem, mevzik and mavasha. But if you have all the tznaim of chazara, then you're not worried about mevzik and mavasha.
So by chazara...
So,
it doesn't,
Gorfa
Kotum
doesn't nothing
to do with
mixing kavasha. Right, right.
No,
okay,
right. No.
Two separate things.
Yeah. What's clear? Do you need to have silver foil on a plata, or is it enough to just have an inverted pan to be warm?
If you have the inverted pan, that's as good as the silver foil plus.
So you don't need silver foil.
You don't need silver foil if you have an inverted pan. The inverted pan serves as a blech and also as. Again, I just confused all of you, but there's two problems with putting something on the fire on Shabbos that is really not being cooked because it's already fully cooked and it's dry, but it looks like cooking. There's two problems. One is that you can't put anything directly back on the fire because it looks like cooking. Okay? But if it was on the fire and you took it off, and you had intention to put it back, and you didn't put it down, which is all the conditions of putting something back on the fire, then as long as there's a blech on the fire is covered, so you're not going to come to adjust the fire, you can put that back. That is what a blech does. It makes it that you're not interested in adjusting and making the fire bigger. Because you have a blech on it, obviously it makes things cooler, right? It diminishes the heat. You're not going to put out further. You make the heat greater if you already put something, a blech. But that won't help if the thing wasn't on the fire before Shabbos and you want to take it out of the refrigerator, and even though it's no cooking because it's fully cooked and it's dry, but you can't put it back even on the blech, surely not on the uncovered fire, because it looks like cooking. Putting back in a place where you normally cook, it looks like you're cooking it. There you need to do something that makes it that people don't cook like that. So the ideal thing is to put a pot with food that's on the fire already, okay, and take that food that you want to warm up and put it on top of that pot. Because that doesn't look like cooking. Nobody cooks like that on top of another pot. So it doesn't look like cooking. There is an opinion that you can take an upside down pot that's empty and put it on top of that, because it also doesn't look like cooking. But that's not lechatchila. Okay, that's on a regular flame. On a plata, so there's two things. One is a plata also needs a blech, because otherwise we're afraid that that's only a plata that can adjust the heat. Okay, but if it can't, no adjustment at all, then it doesn't need a blech, because you can't adjust the heat anyway. There's nothing you can do. So, but in a plata that where has an adjustment, most of them have some kind of adjustment.
Not anymore.
If not anymore, then you don't need a blech. But if it has a thing, then if you leave it on there before Shabbos and you take it off and you have intention to put it back and you didn't put it down, then you can put it back, right? As long as there's aluminum foil, if it has an adjustment, even if there's no aluminum foil, that's where it was on. You took it off. You didn't put it down. Want to put it back? Soup. But if it's not something that was on, or you took it off and you put it down, and you want to put it back, you want to put it on the fire, lechatchila on the plata, on Shabbos, then that's a different, that's the klal of, it looks like cooking. Now again, there's some opinions that say that it never looks like cooking, putting something on a plata, because people don't cook on platas. We don't hold like that. We hold that putting directly on the plata looks like cooking. For that, putting it on aluminum foil won't help, because that's the same thing. It looks, still looks like cooking. So that you need, l'chatchila, a pot with food on the plata that's been there, you know, whole Shabbos, and you put it on top of the pot. But here, since, anyway, putting things on a plata may be that it doesn't look like cooking altogether, and therefore you could put it directly on the plata, right, to heat up. But we don't hold like that. So we need something to make it not look like cooking. But since, anyway, there's people you can put directly on the plata, so having an upside down pan is good enough in that situation. That's the thing. Yeah.
The, going back to a plata, so I thought that if you have a, if you're going to use an upside down pan, you could do that on the spot where the fire is, where it's the hottest, but that if you move away from that spot where it wouldn't get to the other spot, that you don't need to use the upside down pot.
Right, right.
So you're saying I could put an upside down pot where the fire,
right, over the fire,
and
right,
then put the food on top of
it. Right, 100%. On, one second. On a fire or on a plata?
On the blech.
Blech.
On
the blech of the stove.
Right.
Okay. That is not, that is not ideal. It's better to put it on a pot with food in it over the cover.
But say, Shal Shittas, at lunchtime we're having chillin, so I would do that. But say, Shal Shittas, I don't.
Okay, so you don't have it. If you absolutely need it, you can, you can rely on that even on a stove. Lechatchila not. Lechatchila, what's better to do is to put it somewhere on the blech, not over the fire, where the blech is not mamish hot, where you could possibly cook on that part of the blech, but it's close enough to the fire to get warm because of the fire, not because of the heat of the blech.
And then it needs upside down pot or no?
No. No, then it's not over the fire. That's in a place on the blech where anyway you couldn't cook. So it's near, that's called near the fire. That in itself makes it look like you're not cooking. You don't cook things near the fire, you cook them on the fire.
Or if one has a room, they just leave a pot of water. And
yeah, you can leave a pot of water or something on the thing if you want to. I'm saying, if you don't have that, you don't want to leave it there the whole, you have an urn with water, you don't need water on a thing. That's why they have these blechs that are filled with water. That then the blech serves as what's it called, also as a pot with water in it. They have these new blechs in America.
Kadeira
blech. I'm not 100% sure that helps, because then that becomes the normal way of doing it. So don't worry that you don't know what it is, because I'd probably say it's no good. But it's but there are people who say it's okay, and they make them special for this purpose. I'm not 100% sure that it is okay, because now it becomes a normal way to do it. And there are other people who hold like that too. I'm not the only crazy person. Okay. Okay, any other questions on kashering, cleaning? If not, you have what to do, and I will neatly get out of the way of my wife and let her do everything while I'm away in New York. That's the best way to do it. What? That's the way you always do it, right? It really wouldn't make a difference if I was here. So your husband should not learn from me. But I have Baruch Hashem, a wife that willing to suffer with such a despot husband.